I can't go minutes without hearing people undermining themselves or disempowering themselves because they're not speaking up or how they're saying it. So I'm like, there's so much work to be done in this world, especially for women, that I am not just going to give it up. I often use this phrase, you're waiting for permission you already have to be able to say something or ask for something, or asking is even saying no and putting up a boundary. I don't want to do that, or here's another day, or I'm not the person.
When you start dating, you are setting up the foundation. Start asking earlier. Yeah. I think it's so much harder to ask later because not only is it new to you, but it's also kind of a whiplash to your partner because they're like, whoa, 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 you need these things?
The ability to ask every day rather than just accept something that we're not happy with or you've paid for it. It's not where you want is really what determines the state of our nervous system. Like, because you can carry that stuff all day and for weeks.
There's such a fear around the perception of how you'll be received that we walk ourselves back so often and we apologize and we say, oh, just kidding, or I didn't mean it, or instead of just standing in the truth. I think that's a struggle that's so relatable to a lot of women. Welcome to the Fully Expressed podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna
and Samantha.
And this is the show where we're inviting you into your fullest expression in life, love, and business.
Enjoy. Hey, you guys, welcome back to the Fully Expressed podcast. On today's episode, we have a powerhouse of a coach, Jacqueline Hawk. She helps empower women to powerfully speak up about their value, ideas, and needs to fall back in love with their job, regain their health, thrive in their relationships, and succeed in their careers.
This conversation gives you the framework of the power of the ask, because we all want to start asking more, but also real life stories about what does it look like to ask for what you want and set a boundary. And it was just so relatable. Every story that she shared, both Sam and I were like, yep, me too. Yep, me too. Yeah. And it's also very beautiful that by leaning into your ask and what you desire, you find deeper relationships, deeper purpose, and deeper business opportunities that come along the way.
We know you're going to love this one. Enjoy.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming.
I'm very excited about this.
Oh my gosh. I mean, you are the definition of fully expressed. You and I were talking about that. I'm like, yes you are. Mm-hmm. I had this vision for my like-minded pitch to be like, it's the power of the ask. It's listening to your intuition. And it's you totally embody the fully expressed woman that is asking for what she desires. She voices her truth. And I know there's been such a journey in that, but I'm so excited for our guests to or for our audience to really hear your story.
Thank you. Me too, because when we were talking and you said that, it just hit bullseye in a funny way that no matter how long I've done this, something just really landed when you were like, this is fully expressed. And I was like, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, thanks for having me.
We're so excited. So you come from a background of corporate, but I would love to take it back to, take us back to the journey of where, have you always been this confident? Have you always been?
I'll let you finish your sentence.
So take us back to a moment where you felt nervous or held back or didn't talk in a room, or you were nervous in a meeting, whatever that looks like for you, to where you are now, and we'll go from there.
There are so many. And given that alongside this work, I also do a lot of deep work, memories just come up. So there's one that answers that question perfectly. But yes, I was in the corporate world for about 16 years. And the first half of it was doing everything most women and people have done. Here's your box. Here's your lane. Here's how you succeed, even if your soul was being totally crushed. Heaven forbid speaking up. But one of the moments where I didn't speak up and actually went into two full panic attack was I had been living in London and I was still working for Deloitte, but I really wanted out of that Deloitte bubble. It felt out of alignment. So I was interviewing with this other company to do exactly what I had done in LA for Deloitte, what I had then done in London, which was actually building out their account management framework for some of their industries. And in the weirdest way, I couldn't actually speak up and express what I had done. Mm-hmm. It had been such an important interview. Where actually I had to present what I'd been doing. It had also been put on a silver platter for me in a way that I thought I couldn't screw it up by a friend, that it just felt so big that I wasn't able to share something that had been so intimately a part of my life the last 10 years. And I had absolutely crumbled. I did not get the job, clearly, as expected. But it was one of those moments where I was like, what happened? There's something I've been doing day in and day out, and I could not voice it. There were other things too. One of the things I talk about a lot was my second year into the corporate world, I was ready for a promotion. I had done the work, and I was always working with the partners, never my age, for better or for worse. Mm-hmm. And I'd been put up for promotion, and everybody was like, you are a shoo-in. It's like, great. The list came out and I was not on it, mm-hmm. and I was crushed. So I went to my boss and I was like, what happened? She's mm-hmm. like, I don't know. Go ask. I'll call her Susan, who is literally the head of the whole West Coast. Around the corner, sat in office, knew her. And when I asked her, she looked at me, and I kid you not, I always remember, she cocked her head and she smiled. She's not the nicest woman, but she goes, you didn't ask me. Mm. And I was pissed. But at the same time, once I set my ego aside, I was like, there's something in what she's saying. She's got 5, 10, however many people that want a promotion. Mm. If you don't go in and say, I want this, here's where I want my career journey to go. Not even here's why I deserve this, because we could get into that part of men versus women, but not even saying, I want this. She was like, why are you going to be the person that I put up for it versus somebody else who's really expressed and asked for it? Mm. So those are some really big things in life that come to mind when you ask that question.
Oh my gosh. I mean, you just talked about, like, it's so interesting in an interview specifically, like you, it's so, I'm not in this anymore, but you think they're interviewing you, but they really want to hear what you want. They want you to say like, I want this thing, or this is why I want this and mm-hmm. X, or else they don't know how to meet you in that.
So you cut to one of the pivotal moments that led to the framework, the Power of the Ask framework. So mm-hmm. for the listeners, what the Power of the Ask framework is, it's a 4-step framework to literally build and ask for what you want, mm-hmm. but also deal with the beliefs that hold you back. So it's not just strategies. It's, again, the deep foundational work. But when I was living in London and I had wanted to shift from one of the practices to another, the soon-to-be boss, he had looked at me and he was like, you can have the role, but like, why do you want this? Mm. And I, whatever I spouted out, he looks at me and goes, cut the corporate mumbo jumbo. Mm. Like, you'll be good at it, but why do you actually want it? And he sent me away and he's like, go think about it. Mm. And it was the first time I sat down, and I still use blank 8.5 by 11 paper just for like clear open thinking. And I had to think about why I wanted the role that was going to be doing marketing for basically their security and privacy practice mm. versus leaving technology, media, and telecom, and what I wanted, why it was going to work for the business. And it became the foundation for the first step of the Power of the Ask of how do you clarify what you want mm. and what it actually looks like. And it was pivotal because, like you'd said, it's not just, it's a two-way street. And I had lived so much of my life, mm. like many of the listeners, just that one-way street of what do you want me to do?
Right. Being told.
Being told. Exactly. And going, great. Even if I didn't want to do it, or even in college, I was afraid to ask questions of my professors. It runs really deep, or ran really deep. But that piece of where that two-way street begins is incredibly empowering. And most companies want to know. Or when you leave, they get angry that you didn't tell them. Mm. So it comes back.
But what if you don't know what you want? How do you get to a place of knowing why you want something?
Why or what you want, or both?
Both, I guess.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah. Well, I think the best place to always start is sometimes what you don't want. Mm-hmm. And when I run people or groups through the framework, I will always ask the course question, what do you want? But it can be so big, to your point, your head goes like,
yeah,
don't know. Happens to me too. And a lot of people will first start saying, well, here's what I don't want. Mm-hmm. But it really is a great data point to say, okay, well, if it wasn't this, how's it this? Mm-hmm. Take, like, I was working with a client the other day and she was talking about somebody that's speaking really disrespectfully at work. And she could talk forever about how disrespectful they were. And I was like, well, what do you want instead? And it got really hard to actually express, well, what do you want? Because you can always say, well, I don't want this. Right. And finally, we were able to get to the, well, emails being nicer, not going over my head. So sometimes we're actually saying it's disrespect, but it may not be directly to us. Mm-hmm. But that data point of what we don't like can be the launch pad for something else. Mm-hmm. And like for her, it was tone of voice. It was not mm-hmm. being ignored. It was talking to her versus going over her head. But we can start with you don't want and actually hold the container to take it to where you want. That's where you start to actually come out the other end and create some change versus just water cooler talk and advice from your friends that doesn't change anything.
So using that as an example, how would you guide her to have that conversation with that woman that is being very disrespectful?
Yeah. Well, actually, so the fun thing, little preview, we're creating a bot within ChatGPT mm-hmm. that she's also testing to help people do this. So we did both. I ran her through it and she ran it through the testing the bot. So this is where the framework comes in. It is, tell me about the situation, right? Everybody can just vent. And then it was getting to, what do you actually want? And we were able to pinpoint the things that I had mentioned. And to your point too, also the why does this actually matter? Mm-hmm. And for her and many people, when it does come to respect, one of the things is anytime you're working, not working with somebody, but it could be professional or personal, you want to be able to work with them. If you don't like them or you're hesitant, it's awful. You're walking on ice. So it makes life very difficult. So the why was really around making the days easier, being able to get things done. I think being able to ask for what we want and creating the change is actually giving us a deep sense of relief. Mm-hmm. And for that, like, that's what it is for her. So whether it is money, promotion, respect, support, being able to say no, we get a sense of relief in our body and our days. But after that, we go through, and I'm like, how much of the framework do I want to give away? But the four steps: one, clarify what you want. Two, organize your thoughts so you are convincing. Mm-hmm. The third is around confidence, but really it's addressing the beliefs that you have that keep you talking to your friends, saying no, or even when you speak, if you end up aggressive. And the last one's finesse. It's like icing on the cake. So after clarifying what she really wanted, there's a series of other questions, but for the sake of today, it was, well, let's now organize it, right? Tell me about the situation that bothers you and the actual impact of it. Mm. And anybody in the corporate world understands when you usually like, what's the situation? What's the impact? There's some similarities, and I just take it further, of how can you say to this other person who happened to be a man, not even a woman, right? Here's the situation. Here's the impact of it. Here's what I ask of you. And here's why it benefits both of us. So we probably took 7 minutes to be able to put those words together. And I always say, like, spit out the tornado of thoughts in your head, and we're going to organize it in that. Because once you have those core pillars, whether you're chatting with somebody who wants it fast or somebody you have to ease in, you have the core pieces you want to say so you don't get derailed. So we put it together. And then again, the third step is the beliefs, the like, this is going to happen. And I'm going to be pushy. And what if they get upset? So there's a lot of belief work, starting with the, what do you believe about the situation, right? You mentioned in your previous podcast, there's a lot about worth. Perception, I think, is the biggest one. Jeopardizing a working relationship. And then it depends if I'm working with big groups or – do you want me to keep going on this? You asked one bit of the question. When I'm doing a lot of one-on-one or even smaller groups, we can go in to the body, to somatic. There's a lot of visualization. There's even some spiritual psychic stuff I've done to actually figure out the root, whether it is through a memory, through the body, through a visualization, whatever gets her out of here to be able to fully clear it. So essentially she feels free to be able to go have the conversation. And for her, it was about how she was going to be perceived and jeopardizing the relationship, especially in an industry that is not many women and is under a lot of stress as leadership and management changes. So
I think that's so common. I mean, just women in general, you know, I watched the funniest TikTok and this woman was like, well, you can't do this and you can't do that and you're too soft and you're too hard and you're a bitch and you're this. And I think there's so many stories that I think it's so common, whether you're in corporate or you're not, to feel like there's a boundary you're not supposed to cross, or there's such a fear around the perception of how you'll be received that we walk ourselves back so often, and we apologize and we say, oh, just kidding, or I didn't mean it, or instead of just standing in the truth of how we feel and letting it land and being okay with that person not receiving it or receiving it. So I love that so much, because I think that's a struggle that's so relatable to a lot of women.
It really is. And like you said, like, they don't even have to be in the corporate world. I see it with women of all walks of life, in business, not in business, that we get in our own way. And I've worked with men as well in a way that you don't usually see them do. They have their other hesitations around asking, but we get in our own way with our stories. And I know there's always the question of where does it come from, but even when you think about the working world, there's so many times when you're junior, people say, you know, don't step on somebody else's toes. There's stuff that comes directly to us, you know, on top of family of origin and nurture versus nature, that can just build up that we don't even give ourselves a chance.
Oh my gosh, I'm thinking, coming from corporate, because I'm in corporate, you know, I think about, like, God, it'd be so great to have a book that, like, kind of says, that shares all of the unconscious thought or unconscious words that we use, like, don't step on someone's toes, or things that we hear, because there is this, like, underlying gray system that I think everyone follows and they're so scared to step out of it. But you just saying that, I'm like, what other beliefs have been like silently shared with you that you've become, made this a story within your own mind?
Yeah. Well, I think you're saying, what, how do I explain this like energetically? I have this sense that it's, you know, sometimes it's hard to put things into words. We do get in our own way, but it is created by ourselves and mm-hmm. it just persists. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's like one person says it and then we're in that environment and it permeates, right? So, oh my God, what are so many other things? I mean, I'll even share some of the most senior women I have worked with. And I will give the examples for the senior people because a lot of people are like, oh, they're good. It must right. be they're so at the different. Top.
Yeah.
They're at the top. One of the women was just like, she's like, I feel like I should know this. I can't ask. And I'm like, you just started a job, literally one of the largest P&Ls, and you need to ask some questions of your boss, even though you're a boomerang, to be able to put the pieces together. She travels a ton. But there's like the, well, I'm so senior, I should know this. You're like, how? You can't. I think there's more, something more empowering to say, all right, here's where I have the lay of the land. Mm-hmm. What am I missing? What do I not know? Because you've been here. And then you have a collaborative, empowering conversation, and you both walk away, one person going, okay, I feel better that they've got it. I don't have to micromanage. This happens in relationships too. And the other going, okay, I can do my day to day with less guesswork. I was like, that's one of them. But what else comes up? There's just so much about I'm going to be pushy. I'm going to be aggressive. I can't. My mind gets exploded because I feel like I've heard them all.
How much does politics play?
Oh my God. That was.
Okay, like politics within a corporate company.
Yeah, yeah, within okay. corporate.
So in. In which way? Somebody worrying about the politics?
I mean,
or
I think like there's
the external.
You hear this that there is politics in corporate, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's one person, I don't know, I'm just thinking, like, you need to find out who the person is that manages money, makes decisions. And so I'm wondering how much people keep back from asking because they don't feel confident in the politics of the corporate company.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It absolutely does. Thank you for clarifying. Yeah. So yes, it's they don't feel confident. Some people feel like they're brown nosing. Some people don't like playing politics. There's a lot of different ways that can absolutely be sliced versus just thinking, I want to get something done. Where do I go so I'm not wasting my time and others? Mm-hmm. But that's, it's a lot of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a head of HR that I was working with and she was having a big problem with another person, another leader. And her challenge was she had a very close relationship with the CEO, but she didn't want to tell him about the problem because she was afraid it was going to seem like a political move for her, even though the fundamentals of the situation was nothing political. So it was unpacking why that seems political. And again, going back. And actually the cool thing was she came to me, she's like, my problem completely disappeared, literally like disappeared when I finally had the conversation. It's wow. like, great, that's what we do here. But politics is a big one, especially when you kind of go, well, imposter syndrome, who am I to be here? Who mm-hmm. am I to talk to this person? Versus if you've ever been in leadership, usually you like it when people come to you with stuff. Otherwise, you're literally sitting alone trying to figure it out by yourself, yeah. especially the higher you get.
I know I'm asking a lot of questions.
Kind of like an entrepreneur, though. You're sitting by yourself.
Can we flip the script to the other mm-hmm. side for leaders? Like, why did you just say that they like that? What do leaders like?
They like it when more people approach them. I think a lot of leaders, and I remember this having been a leader, I even feel this way as an entrepreneur. You can either sit in your ivory tower or you're just so lonely and isolated. And the more senior I think you get, more powerful, the more intimidating it can be. But you really just want to sometimes be like everybody else. And you can also feel like you can do your job better when you have input from other people or you're able to collaborate. Or even honestly be able to delegate. The number of leaders that finally have people come to them like, hey, I'd love to take this off your plate. They're like, sweet, and I'll coach you on it. So a lot of more senior people really do like that. When they don't, what I typically see is somebody that is very insecure. Mm-hmm. So they put up a block that seems like arrogance. Mm-hmm. But it's actually an insecurity that they're trying to put a boundary on themselves for protection because they don't know what to do or how to do it. But a lot of great leaders love the questions, the thoughts, the approaching them, as long as they can also be secure in themselves to say, I can handle it, I can hear it, or I can take it somewhere else, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you feel alone.
Yeah.
Just like an entrepreneur. Yeah.
Asking for help.
I know. I mean, do you feel that in the corporate world or what do you see?
Oh, I mean, everything I'm asking, I just hear people talk about this all the time. So, mm-hmm. I mean, this is very resonant. But I do want to bring it back to entrepreneurship a little bit because we have both. We have people that are in corporate mm-hmm. and in entrepreneurship or just entrepreneurship or doing both. Literally yesterday I sat at a table with like five women that are in corporate and doing entrepreneurship at the same time.
Yeah.
Have you seen, or in yourself maybe, how have you been seen to invite more asks in your business?
Oh my gosh, I can answer this in so many ways. For me personally, I feel like I'd grown up in a way that it was figure it out yourself, mm-hmm. whether it's faster or something mm-hmm. that I should learn or know enough about, or sometimes even when it's my own business and my own money, being able to invest in those things and trust that it works mm. has been a big leap of faith and learning lesson for me, especially because I've usually taken something and created something different to make it better versus also being able to say, this works, go follow instructions, like I teach my 2.5 and 4.5-year-old to do. Sometimes you need to follow instructions. Other times, go do your own thing. But it's a space where I definitely ask more. It personally and professionally, like some of the biggest asks as an entrepreneur are personal. Mm-hmm. They're of my husband. They're mm-hmm. of my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, even kind of like this. Hey, Chris, can you go take them to a birthday party? It's Sunday. We're leaving church. I'm going to an amazing podcast interview. I think there's some women that just wouldn't do it. They'd try and mm-hmm. they'd miss the opportunity. Mm-hmm. They'd reschedule. There mm-hmm. are things like, am I trying to think? My husband, actually, he packs my kids' lunches in the morning when he's not traveling. Aww. He does their backpacks. He takes them to school on Fridays. And he loves it. At first, it was a, how do I do this? What do you want me to do? I'm like, you're an adult. You'll figure it out. But as an entrepreneur, a lot of the asks to allow me the time in this space are more personal than professional. Mm-hmm. And I think it's where I see a lot of entrepreneurs that we can lean into that, especially as women, where we can do it all. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean we should. We do, we get into the resentment camp, which I think is a word not enough people talk about. Mm-hmm. Not even just, you know, if you're married or not married partnership, it's in the workplace too. But in terms of business is usually, it is for help. It's for expertise that I don't have.
Or even just resentment for where you're at. If you're yeah. like, if you're single or you're like in your business, I mean, at some point you need help. You can't yeah. do it all. You just can't do it all alone and grow. Like, it just doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. And I think asking for help sooner.
Yeah.
And I love what you said about your husband, because I think that's also such a big block is the I don't know. And I love you're like, just figure it out, because that is mm-hmm. the answer, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it's so easy.
I did say to you.
Yeah. But I think it's so easy to, one, I would imagine, I'm not a mom, but I would imagine it's easy to be like, well, I'll just do it. It's fine. Instead of allowing them to figure it out.
Yeah.
And also, like, having that perspective or that mindset is, okay, I don't know how to do this, but I can either A, ask someone, or I can figure it out. Mm. And I think that's such a huge block for women, men, anybody, but especially women in entrepreneurship.
Yeah. And I think it's why we're so exhausted. Yeah. We're doing so much for everybody else that we can do, or it just feels faster, or there's a certain way we like to do it.
I think it's hilarious. So many women are like, well, honey, you can go clean. And then they're like, well, you didn't clean it right. So I'm going to go clean for it. Like, going to go clean on top of the cleaning because yeah. they didn't do it the way that they want it done.
This was a big topic in my marriage. And actually even with one of our previous nannies. But here's what happened that I thought was really interesting was I would be like, okay, here's the thing I would love your help with. Here, they'd be like, okay, what do you want? I would tell them the end goal, mm-hmm. but then they'd come to me and ask me questions. Mm. So when they'd ask me questions, I would answer them. Then they'd get upset at me for being very particular. Mm. And I was like, and I remember saying this actually to my nanny, she was across the island. I kind of went, hang on a second. I think I'm getting blamed. I don't think I use the blame word because that could send hairs on somebody's back. But in essence, I think I'm getting blamed for being particular when you're coming to me asking questions about how I want it done.
Right.
I have given you carte blanche. I say this to my husband's time. So I've given you carte blanche. Here's kind of the end goal. Do it however you want. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to ask me questions, I'm happy to answer them. But yeah. please don't then blame me for needing to have a specific way.
Yeah, because you're just sharing your way.
Bingo. Yes. But you can still go do it your way.
Yeah.
Then don't get mad at me. Of course, my husband's like, of course you would pick this up. I'm like, yes, I would. But when we can let people just go do it or figure it out or not even lean in of, hey, where'd you put that thing? I may remember where it is, but I can let you go find it. Mm-hmm. And these are very everyday examples because you talked about this in your Audacious Ask episode. A lot of people think of asking for really massive stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think the key to happiness and relief and success, I've been using the word success and satisfaction, but I talk a lot about getting past the like settling and seething in our life. Mm-hmm. It's the everyday stuff. It's like, was my coffee correct at Starbucks? Did they overcharge me on something? 2 days ago, I went to get a dress hemmed because I fully ripped the darn thing. Like my son was on the toilet and I stood up, my whole dress ripped. And the seam was like, I mean, it looked like my kids had done it. So I was like, hi, can you redo this? Kind of looked at me funny, called me back. And I was like, well, before I pay for this, like you did it really beautifully over here, but I'd love you to do it, you know, over here. And I could have taken the thing home and I would have hated it to wear it or not worn it. So I bring this up because the ability to ask every day rather than just accept something that we're not happy with or you've paid for it.
Yeah.
It's not where you want is really what determines the state of our nervous system. Like, because you can carry that stuff all day and for weeks.
I have a friend that asks really well and we'll be at a restaurant and she'll be like, actually, this isn't right. It's still not right. Can I have this? Mm-hmm. I need more sauce. Yeah. And she, I mean, sometimes I'll be there and I'm like, wow, you're so good at this. Like I would never, like I would just eat it, you know, and be like, okay. I mean, I'll ask if it's really bad, but yeah, I admire that so much in her because she has no qualms about it. And she'll just be like, you know, sometimes they'll give her attitude and she's like, that's their problem, not my problem. Like I'm paying for this. I want it to be how I want it to be.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, I love it. It's very inspiring. And I think women need more of that it's okay to, and we don't have to say, I'm so sorry. Cause we then negate ourselves. Instead of just saying, you know, this actually wasn't cooked well. I mean, especially today, it's like $25 for a sandwich. It better be the best damn sandwich, you know?
So, and if you've asked me how I want it and I answer it and it comes back differently, I fully have permission. And I often use this phrase, you're waiting for permission you already have to be able to say something or ask for something. Mm-hmm. Or asking is even saying no and putting up a boundary. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. Or here's another day. Or I'm not the person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it is cool. I'd be curious. Oh, go ahead.
No, go.
I was going to say, I think it does come down to beliefs because even me, which started in a very different place than I am now, and I still have my moments, especially as life evolves, is you've got to shift your beliefs underneath.
Yeah, around, 100%.
Is it possible? And is it possible for me? And then I think all the other hidden beliefs that is just this laundry list and we can have a book of stem from those two things. Mm-hmm. And then we can start to be able to speak off the cuff a little bit more and just more grounded from a place of worth.
Yeah. I just laugh because she's been at the border without a passport and she'll be like, whoopsies, like, oops, I'm so sorry. It won't happen again. And like, she's gone away with
she everything. She still
goes through. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, like, gosh. And that's the energy she carries because she's like, it'll work out. It's fine. It'll be good. Like, so many situations like that because she speaks her truth and she asks, I'm just like, dang. Okay. It's so inspiring to me. I mean, I'm getting better and better at asking for what I want too, but. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still the part of this like, thank you so much. I'm so sorry. Oh, actually, can I please have this? Instead of just saying, you know what? It really isn't what I wanted. I would love it to be made again. Thanks so much. You know?
We're also in a society that has just been raised, please, thank you, pardon me. Like you bump somebody on a sidewalk, you say sorry instead of excuse me.
Right.
And then you go to other countries and it's very different. There's less apologizing and it's just fine.
Or they'll be like, pardon, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it.
So, yeah.
I wanted to bring it up to friendships. I know we're talking about different categories. So
this is great. Good.
Yeah, because I think when we were talking, you brought up a story about friendships and having hard conversations and setting the boundary and like, you know, navigating just relationship in general. And I would love to know if you have any stories to share on like how to ask or also set a boundary in friendship. Because friendships are close.
Yeah.
One of the hardest things in my life because there have been people that our friendships have deepened. When I've spoken up and shared, and they have, and there are others that they've just been severed. And I had remembered yesterday, we were talking about this totally organically, and I was like, this is totally gonna come up. I need to remember some of the stories. And it's been, this is also for me where I still get scared and hesitate because there have been people that have been like, peace out. And you're like, really? But some of them, really? I mean, without getting too much in specifics, do you want to start with the ones severed or the ones that have deepened? Very recent examples, actually. One of my dearest friends from San Francisco, where I lived for a long time, we were texting and she's like, oh my God, I finally got a coach. I'm going to get my life sorted out, all of this. And for me, I can actually split myself and be like, I'm happy for you. And I'm also crushed that this is how you're telling me, right? Mm-hmm. Never in a million years did I expect her to ask me to coach her. Because sometimes you don't want somebody
so that knows close you to that you. Well. Yeah, of course.
Right. But it wasn't like a, hey, I can't wait to tell you. The way it had been after like a 15-minute text was just, it had seemed very flippant. So I had actually said to her, like, I am so, I always usually have these caveats of like, okay, here I go. I am so excited for you. You have needed this for so long. And this also isn't the way that I'd expected to hear it without some sort of other acknowledgement kind of not being me. And it was actually much more articulate in text than I am right now. But even for me, it was kind of that shaky, all right, we're going to see how this goes, but I need to say it because if I don't, my friendship isn't going to be the same. Mm-hmm. But I can say I'm happy for you at the same time that like I'm a little bit triggered, right? And it was one of those great things. She was like, oh my God, I didn't even think about that. She's like, I'm so sorry. She's like, you're the first person I've actually admitted this to. I wouldn't have wanted to do it with you because I need somebody that does not know me so intimately well. Mm-hmm. And our friendship is carried on, like not even a blip on the radar. Mm-hmm. There was another friend who, she's joined my Women Who Ask Club, and she was making a joke about her nanny increasing her prices and all these other things. And she's a full-time single working mom. And she was like, we'll see if I can keep the group. I can still get advice free from you. And there was a couple other things. And I was just like, all right, you know, anybody that has a business, you don't like that. So I had said to her, I was like, that didn't really land well. Like, you know the ins and outs of my business. This is something I'm launching. And I know you didn't mean it, but it really, really stung. And same thing. She goes, I love that you call me out on this. Mm-hmm. Because after I wrote that, because sometimes this stuff is just text, especially at like 11 o'clock at night. She's like, I love that you called me out on this because I actually didn't feel good about it after, but I didn't know what to say. Mm. And it was a 2-minute thing and we move on. So some relationships, I think it's great. And I love the people that are like, okay, this is Jackie. Here's what we get. And they say it inspires them to be able to share. And then there are others where my husband and I, we bought our first home in December, which was huge. And it was a very personal decision. It happened really unbelievably fast. We also didn't tell anybody because one, we didn't know if it was going to go through. Mm-hmm. And we held everything close to us, like close, like 21-day close, by the way. It pulled us in all directions. I forgot to tell my parents until 2 weeks into escrow type of a thing. And the way we were doing a lot of it was also very personal. And one of my good friends was a real estate agent. Mm-hmm. Who I'd said to a long time ago, like, we have somebody we know, we're not going to use you. And we had a falling out in our friendship because I had been called dishonest in how I managed the process and not told anybody about it. And I had to say to her, one, I wish you'd come at me with curiosity about what really happened. Mm-hmm. And two, I think you're reframing a very personal decision about how to conduct something for my family, no matter how close I am to others, as dishonesty rather than a personal family decision. But I also wish you would have come at curiosity. And that relationship severed. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not like be careful, but I don't regret saying any of that because I always ask myself, what's going to happen to a relationship if I don't? Will it be the same?
Yeah.
Will it be the same result? Right. And I feel like I'm still talking. You lose trust. It's not as comfortable depending on how big or small the situation is. Some things you can always let go, but for the big triggering stuff, like I really think you need to speak up. Mm-hmm. And if it's a good friendship or one that will get deeper, you will go that direction. Not saying the others won't come back around, but the hardest thing is how do we stay true to ourselves? And you just have to take that leap of faith sometimes.
And a double tap on the first two examples because, you know, we've had hard conversations in our friendship, especially being in business together. And, you know, our conversations have helped me be more honest in other friendships and other conversations. And it's only made us stronger and better business partners and better friends. And I feel like the ones that are meant for you will receive that. And mm-hmm. then the other example is just, oh, this person actually wasn't meeting me at the same energetic level. And that's okay. Like your time, you learned from it, you were mirrors and then now you're not, you know, like, and I think being okay with that and realizing like it's nothing to do with you. You spoke your truth and that person decided like that they weren't ready to hear that, you know, or they weren't ready to receive it. And that's okay.
Exactly. And sometimes I think the other thing too is everybody can have their own version of the truth.
Totally.
And totally honor that. She had her experience. I had my experience. And if you can go this way, great. And if you can't, okay. Do you hope sometimes that they come back together? Absolutely, depending. But yeah, and I think especially when you're good friends and you work together, that level of honesty is just so important.
I think it's imperative. Yeah.
It's a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
It's a non-negotiable.
That was something
we talked about. Yeah. But it's also become a non-negotiable for all my friendships.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
Are you always that way?
Was
between the two of you.
Between us? Pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much from day one.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of.
That was an agreement we made.
We had an agreement that no matter what, we were going to be honest with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then one conversation was probably like our.
Edgiest
or hot heated one. And we got through it. It made us closer. And I would say I wasn't always like this before, though. I mean, like, I have the same exact everything, every story you just shared. I'm like, yep, I did that with a friend in business.
Mm-hmm.
But one friend specifically that I thought would be able to meet me in the hard conversation, she just completely didn't want to go there. And it was so eye-opening. And I was like, whoa, like, I think I needed to see that. And it actually hurt. It stung because it was like my first one when I was like really learning how to like be fully expressed, share like, hey, I see you and I'm also hurt. Like, I acknowledge where you're at and I totally understand where you're coming from. And like, can you tell me more? And just didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't get there. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, received, you know, like well received, but you get there. And then you find the friends, you build a couple muscles. You kind of have to go through a few to be like, okay, I totally see why kind of going through this process of asking for your ask, it leads to the relationships that I really want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it like kind of like lets go of the ones that are like, aren't going to have the same level of capacity to have conversations. Maybe they're not able to meet me in that way. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of weeds out the ones that are out there, but then it really highlights the ones that deepen.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, this is what it really could be like.
And this feels good.
This feels good. Like, I love that I can express myself honestly and vulnerably. They can see me and it's a 2-minute thing, which is the other thing that I've realized. I think we think that it's going to be like a whole ordeal for like weeks and months and things are going to be weird. But it ends up just – it could be as simple as like a 2-minute thing and you can move on and it's fine.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about doing this work is when people are like, that was easier than I thought it would be. Like, if there's one line I could take across almost every single client and student, it would be like, that was easier than I thought. Or I was kind of shaky, but it turned out better than I expected. Because we build it up so much in our head. The stories are huge and endless and spiraling and but it can be easier and
it can be so simple.
It's also so much worse. I think being someone who I was like such an avoider and I'd be like the friend that ghosted because I wouldn't know how to say how I was feeling or I'd be the friend that because I am someone, I think for a long time I had a friendship wound and it showed up as like I would overcompensate in insane ways. Like I would be the person that drove an hour to your house every single time we hung out because I didn't want to inconvenience you to meet me halfway or come to me. And I mean, Karina can attest, I am definitely like, I've gotten better.
No, I'm laughing because I've done that.
Yeah.
And
the laundry list of situations are going back here.
Let me do this. Like high school. Okay, yeah, cool.
Totally.
College. Yes. Up until whatever, you know.
Yeah. And being confronted in my younger self, being confronted by friends and being called names or being said not very nice things and just taking it because I didn't know how to stand up for myself or set a boundary and be like, you know what, actually, like, that's super not cool that you said that to me. I validate how you're feeling, but like, you're approaching me in a way I don't want to be approached. You know, I didn't know how to say any of that. I didn't have that language. And so I think now that I do, being able to say, hey, actually, like, my feelings were hurt by that. Or, you know, maybe this is like an internal thought you could have processed before you brought it to me. Or it just feels so much deeper, better. I mean, yeah, you just don't have the anxiety. Like, there was one friendship in particular that dissolved and they called me a chameleon and like just said really horrible things. Like, she laid into me in my early 20s and I didn't even let me speak. I also had a friend email me once and say, I don't think we should be friends. Like, I don't think you're showing up in the way I deserve. She just said, I actually found this email when I was deleting emails from like a decade ago.
Yeah.
And she was like, don't write me back. Don't respond. There's nothing you need to say to me. It's done. I don't want to talk to you ever again. And that was so hard. I mean, yeah, we actually made it full circle.
So hard, yeah.
It was so hard because it was like so – it was just, again, these lessons. And same with the girl on the phone. Like, I couldn't respond. There was no response. Like, it was just like, I'm done with you.
What was the lesson for you? You just had so many lessons.
Oh, so many. I think one was, I mean, it did make me reflect, like, how am I showing up? And I definitely self, like, evaluated, was I a bad friend? Or I think also I recognized, like, it wasn't about me. It was about them projecting. And ironically, both of those people came back into my life and apologized. And one, I still speak to, like, we follow each other on Instagram. Yeah. She lives in Australia. And actually during 2020 or right before 2019, she emailed me. I don't know how we found each other. And she's like, I just have to apologize to you for what every person that's done that to me has come back and apologized. It's very odd. Wow. Even my ex, like, it's interesting. So I do ask myself, like, what is the lesson in this? Like, am I holding the mirror? But I will say that it taught me to not accept that anymore. Like, if someone comes to me that way, I would have, like, the now me would have written back and been like, there's a better way to handle this. Like, I hear you and I'm sorry you feel this way, but, like, you know, let's talk it through. Or, you know, I acknowledge you, but I think there's a kinder way you could approach me. Mm-hmm. But at the time I just took it and I never responded. But then I dwelled on it for years. Mm-hmm. And then the other one who was on the phone, I actually had a chance to, I ran into her again years later and she tried to rekindle a friendship. And I said, you know, I wish you nothing but the best and I'm so glad you're happy, but the way you spoke to me, I could never allow you back into my life. And that felt so powerful, you know, because the old me would be like, oh, sure, let's hang out again, you know, and I was like, nope, that abuse cycle's done, like, I'm cool. But yeah, there were so many lessons in just, like, having boundaries and, you know, like, not – I think I allowed that to happen because I let people walk all over me and I never set boundaries from the beginning. So then when I did start to be like, hey, actually, I don't want to be treated this way, they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. It is interesting to have to watch other people change with or around us because they're used to something and they may or may not like it. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the most interesting, hardest, but coolest things is being able to, when you speak, just sitting and then watching the other person, like, let them have
their experience
when you're starting to change for yourself, irrespective mm-hmm. of them. Mm-hmm. And I love so many things of what you said. They were all statements. Mm-hmm. And statements are asks, whether we realize it or not. Like, you can't treat me this way. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even like, hey, I want you to talk to me this way. Sometimes mm-hmm. it is, don't treat me that way. Or when I think of statements, a lot of people will say something and they're trying to make an ask, but it doesn't sound like it. So nobody does anything. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you actually needed to make more of an ask about that mm-hmm. versus something passive. But what you said about even just the two-way street, I can absolutely relate. There's so many friendships where I was like, wait a minute, I'm the one constantly reaching out, constantly, mm-hmm. constantly, constantly. Mm-hmm. This does not feel good. Mm-hmm. Like, what do we do about it? How do we reorganize it? Or is it a friendship worth it? Especially I've moved a lot, like, in my life too. Mm-hmm. So.
And that's the evolution of creating depth in friendship, you know, is like, and now I don't even have those situations, like, they haven't happened because I've been able to say, hey, like, I hear you, let's mm-hmm. talk it through. How can we show up better for each other or whatever the situation may be. But the more I learned to set boundaries early on, and I'm always going to be that friend that does the most, but it's because I want to, not from a place of I have to. And I think that was the ultimate lesson in all of that, was that I never set the boundary in the first place because I didn't feel worthy mm-hmm. of receiving that back.
Yeah.
I felt like it was my role to be the facilitator or the helper or the sounding board or the problem solver.
Yeah. And you nailed it. So everything we talk about keeps coming back to the beliefs under it, the worth. Are other people going to show up, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah.
Have you ever navigated a friendship breakup that you wanted to break up with someone? Or, like, ooh, not wanted to be in friendship anymore.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. So I – good question. When you said that, it's like, you know, when five things come at you at once, I was like, there are visuals, there are all the things. So I lived in San Francisco for about 10 years mm-hmm. before moving down here in 2020, and I'm originally from here. But the group that I first met and ran around the city with, so much fun. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of women in the group that I just – the relationship between the two of us was so toxic. Mm. One of them, for some reason, I was on the receiving end of it. And another one of our good friends was like, I don't know why she treats you this way. Mm. This girl had actually been one of my best friends at one point. Like, we actually have the same name. And then over time, it just kept getting the way she would talk to me, the things that she would do, the things that I would hear about. Even in one case, like, I had broken up with a boyfriend who I thought I would marry. And that's another thing, actually, the first time I spoke up to a man about what I actually needed, what happened, if we have time for that one. Mm. And that were just not good friend stuff. So I did actually what I would do now and what you said, would sit down and be like, well, I'm trying to remember what I would say, but like, this doesn't feel good. Like, what is this? Like, what is this about? Let's have a conversation. And there was no ownership of it. Mm-hmm. And the relationship went this way. And for a number of years in San Francisco, it was kind of hard because it was, you know, within a bigger group. And then there was another girl who was kind of would like pick off whoever she targeted as toxic. And you talk about deleting emails. I came across a text that is probably from 2016, just because life happens. And the verbal abuse over text for not having picked her up to go somewhere when the previous text said talk about I'm leaving an hour earlier was just like, how could you treat somebody like this? And yeah. I'm not going to allow this to happen. Like, mm-hmm. you don't talk to me this way. Like, mm-hmm. whatever your relationship with everybody else is. So, yeah, I remember those two friendships were just, I don't think there was, one of them, there was no way to repair. Because I was like, this is just really bad. No, thank you. Yeah. Happy for you. Go do your thing. And the other, because she'd been such a good friend, was, can we actually repair this? Like, are you aware you're actually doing this? Here's what I would have preferred. And just not really any ownership of it. So, yeah. But what I think is also interesting, and this crossed my mind earlier, was even for like those of us like me to be able to come around if I've screwed up. Mm-hmm. And there was a friendship shortly after. I was like, there's so many great friendships I have. And we're talking about the sad ones that have gone this way.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think it does happen because I will set boundaries. But
and it's a part of the process, which I think so many people think about. And like, I know these are happening every day with women all the time.
They really are.
And in friendship and community.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
and it's also okay to have the conversation and then still not want to be friends with that person. Like recently, a couple years ago, that happened to me. I had someone treat me really horribly, owned it, apologized. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you can't repair this. Like, I will never trust you again.
Yeah.
And that was sad. Like, I cared deeply for her. Mm-hmm. And I still do. And she still comes around every so often. But I'm like, I can't open that door.
Yeah.
I can't rebuild the trust. It's like a relationship, you know, like if there's mm-hmm. cheating or there's mistreatment, sometimes you can forgive it, but you can't repair it.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes in friendship, we forget that, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I had something similar where it's after I'd had my daughter, I had really deep postpartum depression. Mm. And it was also COVID. We just moved down here. Oh, so I was isolated upon isolated, like even, you know, pumping on the bathroom floor by myself at 2 a.m. Mm. while my husband's passed out asleep and, you know, baby's asleep. And one of my closest friends at the time, like in my mind, I was like, she hadn't shown up for me. I was like, where is she? I just had a child. I'm hearing from everybody else. And I had reached out. And we'd finally had a conversation and she was having something major happen in her life too. And it was like, well, she didn't want to rain on my parade with like this big, wonderful moment of having a child. Mm. And I was like, I am in my own pool of tears right now. This is not as glorious as everybody thinks. Like, are there beautiful parts? Yes. But I'd rather me be there for you and you be there for me through both of our hard times, or you tell me what's going on with you. Even if I'm at the happiest moment of my life, mm-hmm. don't care, we'll be there for you. So we'd reconciled in that way. And then she was going to be coming to Southern California. And my husband and I had carved out the time. And she didn't show up when she said she was going to be there.
Oh, no.
And when she finally did surface, I was so deeply hurt that I hadn't picked up the phone, called back and left a message maybe like a week later. Because I was like, I am in new mom land, like mm-hmm. losing my life, like could not literally do anything else, which may have been selfish, but could not function. And I had left a message for her and then literally never heard back. Mm-hmm. And even over time, I would be like, hi, can we reconcile this? Like, mm-hmm. can we have a conversation? And this is my daughter's 4 and a half to nothing. Wow. But it was even one of those where sometimes you say, I was the one reaching out to say, okay, here's where I was. Yes, you didn't show up, but if I was a crazy person in this postpartum moment too, like I'm happy to own that because mm-hmm. you're hormonally insane.
Yeah.
Insane. And, you know, when we can own up to our own stuff, I think it's really important in terms of determining, do you deepen a friendship? Again, friendship, business, partnership, whatever it is, mm-hmm. or you can choose not to. But if we can at least show up, it may still sit, it may still hurt our hearts, it does mine deeply. But how can we still show up and try? Mm. Yeah.
Such a good, I mean, not a great, I don't love that you had that story.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
It's but a great example. It's a real life example, which I think this is why we're talking about these, because these are all real life examples where women are not being met or they don't know how to navigate that, or like just moments where you get so hurt in relationship with other women or just relationship in general. You had one more example that you wanted to share.
Yeah, about your marriage, a man.
Ex-boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. Ex-boyfriend.
I'm glad you went to that, because I think a lot of women also hesitate to speak up in their relationships.
Absolutely.
Because I think sometimes, despite everything we've talked about, we might have a bit more of a greater level of trust that we can say something to a girlfriend. But when it's a partnership and something you've been hoping for, depending on how much you've seen your future, whatever it looks like, it can feel like you're jeopardizing more. But I had been in one of the longest relationships I'd been in. It was in my mid-30s. I'm totally aging myself. And we'd gone on a trip. It was terrible. Absolutely terrible. And I thought I was going to marry the man. We came back. Some people thought we were going to get engaged on that trip. And wait, no, we actually weren't. No. But came back and I was talking to one of my best friends. And she's like, you've been really upset for a long time. Like, what do you need from him? And what do you need in a relationship? Mm. And I was like, huh? She's like, can you articulate what you need? I was like, no, I can't. So it was an interesting parallel to the situation in London, probably like 5 years later. Because for me, being able to express myself came first in business because it felt less personal than in relationships. And I had to sit down and I remember like the little tiny yellow lined paper I had being like, all right, what do I need in this relationship with this guy? And we met up for coffee while it was on the rocks. And I had said, I was like, you know, I sat down and thought about like what I need to go forward. And like, here are the four things. Do you think you can do that? He sat back and he looks at me and goes, no. I was like, in my head, I was like, wait, that's it? Like part, that's it? And then crushed and walked away from it. And in hindsight, it was funny. I did the breaking up, actually, not him.
Yeah.
Because he would have been happy carrying it forward. Here was like the life lesson for me was in talking to that, I think it was the same girlfriend after. She's like, well, you have a choice. You can continue that relationship on his terms more than yours, or you can break up and go find somebody that meets your needs in a more mutually supportive relationship, even if it's going to hurt like hell. Like, what do you want to do? And I broke up with him. And I mean, this was like one of those times in my life, like on the kitchen floor crying while I was also running a team across the whole US for Deloitte on like 8 hours of virtual calls before working from home was a thing, like trying to exist, shattered. But it was such a pivotal moment in terms of saying, you know, here's what I need. What do you need? Can you do it? Getting a no, but also getting to go, well, where can I go find this? The next boyfriend, even better. After that, met my husband. So who I can talk to these things about. And it was just, it was terrifying, massive leap of faith because I had no idea what was going to happen next or who. And it just gradually got better and better, or at least I felt more empowered. I wasn't so much doing, just living somebody else's life and what they wanted, which is what I'd been very accustomed to. And I think that can happen a lot in relationships, or we start at a place of like, well, I don't really want to rock the boat. And then you're looking at your watch months, days, years later going, shoot, I'm still in this position. What do I do?
I used to talk to people when I was coaching. I remember one specific relationship that she was like starting to change and all these asks. And I was like, then she was going into a new relationship. I was like, when you start dating, you are setting up the foundation. Start asking earlier. I think it's so much harder to ask later because not only is it new to you, but it's also kind of a whiplash to your partner because they're like, whoa, you need these things? Like, I didn't know you needed these things, or I didn't know that this was like an ask of yours. And like, I know that women sometimes are like, well, you're supposed to know exactly what I need, which
read
is not,
my mind.
Not true.
Just had a post on that like a week ago.
Yeah, which is not true. But just like, if you could ask early, like even in any relationship, just start asking earlier. Because if you wait a year, 2 years, 3 years, like you've not only like patterned yourself to stay in that without asking, but two, you've also created a relationship that thrives on that relationship without that ask. So when things start to get a little messy, like of course things are going to get messy because you start asking things that you've been wanting for the last 3 years.
And it's not fair to either party.
No.
To the other person, like you said, to have a whiplash of, huh? Or you having to hold back.
And I think also like my other part to that, like I have another friend that they got married and they're like, I thought you were this successful person. I didn't know you were going to go through your spiritual healing and awakening. And he had whiplash because he's like, I thought things were going to be safe and stable. And, you know, I think it's also important to recognize in relationship, you're constantly evolving. There's always going to be a new ask. And there's no way that we're going to get it right. But the practice of asking is all that it takes, according, bringing it back to you, like, and what you're doing, the gift of just like having that skill to ask from the beginning so that your partner's like, okay, we're constantly going to be evolving. It's going to be a new ask. It's going to be a new thing. Circumstances are going to change. Life is going to change. Mm-hmm. Things are going to happen. And there's going to be a new ask in that.
Right.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Most likely.
Because people also don't always jump in. They're not going to be the first one to always do it.
Yeah.
Even in a relationship. So you've got to ask.
Exactly.
I know with my husband, some of the groundwork was laid really early. Like when we'd moved in together after 6 months, we'd hosted a party. And from the beginning, we're like, we're a team. You see it, you do it. And we had this housewarming party. And he sat on the balcony the whole time while I took care of everybody else. Did not say anything during the party. Seething inside. But I think it was the next day I finally said something. And I was like, I am livid. I did not enter this relationship nor move in with you under the pretense that we're a team for me to cater to you and your beck and call and your friends during a party or an everyday. Like, do you realize that's what happened? Mm. That was another thing too. And the way that I've learned to communicate is, even if I'm going to say something strong like that, even just asking the question of like, do you realize that was happening? Like, what do you think was happening?
Yeah, you want to get their perspective because maybe they didn't see it that way.
Right. It kind of removes suddenly like you're feeling defensive. And then
the
it's
emotion.
Like, oh, wait, you're asking my opinion. What was my experience of it? Yeah. Can really soften it. There's all these little tips and tricks. But it laid that groundwork very early of like, he knew that I was going to be speaking up and fully giving him permission, you know, to do the same, which is more his journey than mine, but or at least now. So, yeah.
I mean, that's a great lesson in friendship too, because I think, I mean, that was my biggest lesson that you asked me from those relationships. It was like, well, I didn't ask for what I wanted. Like, I didn't ask for reciprocation. I didn't set those boundaries. And so, of course, like, people are going to take you
they're
for what you're showing.
You. Yeah, they're
exactly.
Meet you with what you give them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. One more question.
Fire away.
Where in your life are you feeling called to be more fully expressed? Life, oh, love, or business? Mm-hmm. Where are you at in your evolution?
I'm at a really interesting place in my evolution because so I did the corporate thing. Even my business, it hit 6 figures within the first year and a half during COVID. And then I started having children. And I had decided that I want to be very present for them, working part-time on my business. And it has been really hard. Like, even my husband was like, I think you've chosen the hardest thing because you can either be fully working where somebody runs your schedule, tells you something to do. Hard as well, or be stay-at-home mom, also hard as well. But to be pulled in every direction all the time truly does feel sometimes like nothing is done really well. And I have found that my heart has been more pulled to my children at times than my business, either because it's needed or I want to. So my business has done really well, but there's still this ambitious woman inside of me. And as we talk about this, like, I can't go minutes without hearing people undermining themselves or disempowering themselves because they're not speaking up or how they're saying it. So I'm like, there's so much work to be done in this world, especially for women, that I am not just going to give it up. But I'm at this point as my kids are getting older, because in August, my son is going to start preschool full time. Of wanting to be more fully expressed and actually seen more for this work and being able to teach it more. Because I had actually in church this morning during the sermon, you know, they were talking about moving boulders. And here I am always like listening and then going through my own experience of like, what would it be like? What is the big boulder in front of me? And what would it be like if it would be moved? And it would to be seen on a grander scale and have the opportunity to do this work versus dipping in and out and having like the consistent clients to have the impact. But a part of me wasn't ready for that because I've been so tied to my children and I always will be. Like I think I'm trying to do a lot of what my mother didn't do, as many of us generations try and correct for. But there's a part of me now being able to say I can do both in a more grounded, fully expressed way and am ready for it. And I think just being a bit more brazen about the fact that like women are not asking for what they want.
Yeah.
You are hiding. I mean, my handle is stop hiding, start asking. And just being a lot more encouragingly outspoken about the work that needs to be done.
Do you post on LinkedIn?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I love that.
I was like, especially with your background, Deloitte, corporate, I'm like, do you know how many women I know that could probably use this too?
But here's the funny thing. And I was actually asking one of my clients the other day, because I was like, I'm at an interesting junction with my work because I've got the live work that I do from corporate workshops to one-on-ones, to masterminds, and then all of my work actually on learning courses. So not short on content, which sometimes then is like, well, what do I want to do with this if the world is your oyster? And I'm actually coming out with a control your calendar because I just did that. And oh my God, I lost my train of thought. Oh, the feedback from all the women was, women will often know they need to do the work, but they won't spend the time or the money sometimes unless it's truly painful. But what I think is truly shifting in the world and society is women are waking up to this work and that a lot of their challenges, being overworked, being ineffective, being underappreciated, is underpinned by the fact that they're not speaking up about it and they have beliefs that are holding them back. Like, as I listen to people talk, like, we talk about marketing, right? Usually there's an education piece. Like, I think that education piece is happening through experience to prime to actually do the work to say, how do I do this? And that's where I've been sitting since 2019 is, here's literally your step-by-step how. I don't like just being inspired. I need to know, like, give me a to-do list or some steps. So for me, being more fully expressed in that way, and then even like friendships, making sure the time is right and you go from there. So, yeah.
So I love that.
Well, so we're excited. We'll support you.
Yeah. Thanks.
In both mother and business.
Great. Stay tuned. It is a journey.
Literally. A never-ending one.
Never-ending. True. I know. The easiest and the hardest. No, the most enjoyable and the hardest thing at the same time. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We hope you loved today's episode and that it sparked something in yourself on your journey to becoming more fully expressed.
Don't forget to check the show notes for all the details and resources from today's conversation. And if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review.
We'd love to hear your thoughts and takeaways as it really helps us to create better content that actually serves you.
This week, we invite you to show up even more as you, more honest, more real, more expressive in your life and business. And we'll see you on the next one.